You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hello, welcome along to the latest Today's Conveyancer podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Malcolm Smith, Chief Operating Officer at Groundshaw and well known to many in the conveyancing market. The discussion of the podcast today is around market conditions. Groundshaw operate in a very interesting space and have some really interesting insight into what's happening in and around transactions. We're also going to cover off upfront information and some of the pitfalls faced there. And finally, we'll touch on climate change and the progress that has been made there over the past 12 to 18 months, on top of which, of course, you guys were the headline sponsor at the recent British Conveyancing Awards. Thank you very much indeed for joining the podcast, Malcolm.
Thank you very much, David. Yeah, happy to be here.
I've done a very brief introduction to you, Malcolm, probably not justice enough. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role at Groundshaw, please.
So I've been in the sector for near on 20 years, 17 years with Groundshaw, actually. So when people ask me what I do at the moment, I'm Chief Operating Officer of the business. I've had several roles in the organization. It's almost easier to speak to people and tell them what I haven't managed or been responsible for in the business. So they try and keep me away from the technology department, which is always a good thing. But looking at all the other departments that I oversee and work with my phenomenal colleagues on, I look after the data side of the business, so all the information that we gather, curate and use to create our products. The consultancy division that actually drive the assessments and products that we provide to conveyancers. Then also the sales strategy, marketing department, customer service, HR. So a broad variety of departments and humans, which I love working with in the business. So quite a diverse role, but I still get to see customers. They do let me out now and then, which is quite nice.
I said we're going to touch on market conditions to start with. You operate in a really interesting space. You've got quite a lot of oversight of what's happening in the market. Can you give us a bit of a feel for what's happening in and around conveyancing, transaction volumes? And we're talking in March. What was January, February like for you guys?
I'm happy to say that looking at all the stats figures that everybody else relies on and also the detail we hold from working with a number of solicitors, search companies and so on, the market is buoyant. The market is busy. I don't think there's a solicitor north or south that will say to me they're not busy. Groundshaw is actually outstripping the market and outperforming the market. We're doing exceptionally well. So our paymasters are exceptionally pleased by that. So the business is definitely doing well when you consider the transactions going through us day to day. We're also seeing quite a lot of activity in the commercial space, which is interesting. So there are a lot of big portfolios going through, which all is positive, good news for the future. So, you know, I know we can sit here and talk about high interest rates, the vast changes of property prices up and down the country, and the problem we've suffered for, well, ever since I can remember being in the sector, which is a massive issue around supply and demand. We think as a business, looking at how things are performing at the moment, we're getting back to a little bit more normal seasonality. I think moving forward, we're going to see far more property transactions this year than what we did last year, especially with the interest rates and what government's saying about things coming down and more stability. So I would hope that that continues and conveyancers are as busy as they want to be moving forward. And we try and get back to a bit more normality.
That comment about how busy conveyancers want to be is quite prescient, because my sort of view is that we coped with some of the volumes through the pandemic. We ended up doing 1.6 million transactions, which was quite phenomenal, really. But we don't want that every year. I know government might want that every year, but as a community, we don't want that every year, do we?
I just spoke about supply and demand with regards to property. I think there's also a massive supply and demand issue around conveyancers themselves, right? So, you know, there's a lot of work being done around National Conveyancing Week, trying to promote the fact that it's an industry that new blood should join. So, you know, could we cope? I think it's very clear with everybody focusing on mental health and things like that. A lot of conveyancers and solicitors have left the profession because of those 1.6 million housing transactions. And also, you've got to realize our sector and the industry itself, and we'll talk a bit about upfront information a bit later on, you could argue our sector and our industry actually isn't geared to cope with all of that volume, which then adds extra pressure not only onto the process itself, but ultimately the conveyancers that are doing the work to get people into the properties they want to move into. So, I think you're right. I think if we don't invest in the industry, we're going to battle, because we definitely saw a lot of cracking and issues back then. I mean, it's lovely financially to have that happen, and I'm sure the government likes seeing a busy market. But if you don't make it easy and you don't make it a pleasure to go to work every day to do, I think we're going to battle doing it again.
I agree. I mean, we're talking, it's a day after the budget, and whilst there was some concern that stamp duty might be fiddled with, it's obviously remained, apart from multiple dwellings relief, it's remained largely untouched. So I think the profession heaved a collective sigh of relief after yesterday afternoon. You talked about the fact that, you know, we need to change as a profession. We kind of need to improve the efficiency of what we do. I know that Groundshore are very heavily involved in a number of initiatives at the moment around upfront information and that kind of thing. Tell me about what is going on in that space at the moment from your point of view. I often hear about it on the podcast from others' points of view, but I know, for example, you're quite heavily involved in some of the steering groups.
I think everything we're trying to do is exceptionally admirable. So yeah, we are working closely with the Home Buying and Selling Group. We are also working and a founding member of the Open Property Data Association. And with Trading Standards releasing their guidance on how and what information is required for advertising property as it enters the industry, we're trying to steer that and make sure that, dare I say it, we don't experience or go through some of the issues that we had historically, especially around HIPs and things like that. There's going to be a lot of people that are looking to enter the sector, new businesses, which is exciting. But what we don't want is these new businesses coming into the sector and, dare I say, muddying the water when it comes to what should or shouldn't be provided. And I'm not sitting here saying all of them are going to, but there is a big focus on two specific objectives that those organizations are trying to drive forward with. And the first one is, we want the process to moving home to be faster. We all know it takes too long, and that is a major focus for them and the main objective, one of the main objectives for them to get moving in the industry a lot faster. The second one is, we also want to reduce the number of fall throughs. You know, if you have a look at the amount of information that's supplied at the start of a transaction, you tend to find a lot of the showstoppers or shocks happen further on in the transaction. That creates a lot of frustration for all parties concerned. And it also means there's a lot of people that are actually declining to carry on with the transaction and things fall through. So, you know, those big surprises is what we want to try and avoid. When I mentioned working with these groups and being a member of the Open Property Data Association, it is going to take absolutely everybody in the sector to commit to change. You know, at the moment, dare I say it, there's a number of really good organizations and people trying to drive change. But if we don't get everybody on board the bus, I don't think we're going to see much change in the future. I know government's involved and there's a lot of lobbying going on to try and get them to adopt these changes moving forward to achieve those objectives I mentioned a minute ago. But if we don't all get on it, it's going to be a challenge. When it comes to the organizations I mentioned a minute ago as well, around who's involved and who's looking to start a business in the sector, I don't think Trading Standards have helped themselves all that much when it comes to actually informing accurately what people need to do. There's a lot of people that are second guessing, coming up with their own idea of what actually should or shouldn't happen. And I think it could have been delivered, and the actual message and actual process could have been delivered far better and far more effectively if it had more governance and structure around it. And what I mean by that is, you tend to see a number of providers that we speak to at the moment looking to make use of a lot of content and information available in the sector that does two things. It doesn't actually give the answer to some of the questions that are being raised for that property, which you could argue people are going to be guessing because it's not accurate. And there's a big quality piece here. You know, there's if for Groundshoe as a business, for example, you know, historically we were an environmental business and that's what everybody saw us as. But right now the business has evolved to be, dare I say, a content beast. We are a content business. We hold a lot of data information and we're a firm believer that if we don't use accurate quality content in the actual products and solutions we provide, nobody's going to be able to rely on it. And our learning and our evolution is something that's happened over time, right? So what you're going to see is a lot of these businesses that are entering the space looking to provide products that they're going to go to an estate agent and say, oh, this meets the trading standards requirements and we're here to help you, give us your transaction volume, etc. They haven't been through those lessons. And if they're going to cut corners anywhere in the process, Groundshoe believes that you're going to more than likely see those two objectives fail. People are not going to move house faster because the content's not going to be accurate when people start interrogating it. And also, you're more than likely going to see people declining to carry on with the transaction. So fall throughs will go up as well. So I think there's a big, big, big focus on quality of content to drive these great new ways of working. And people should not be cutting corners. You know, a message from me personally and all the business, if you're coming to our sector to cut corners, I don't think we want you here, because ultimately we want to do what's right for the consumer. It is the biggest spend you'll ever make in your life, should it not be the right decision and making that decision with the right information.
You brought up HIPS, so I can't be accused of that particular folly. But one of the big criticisms of HIPS, of course, was that the information went out of date too quickly, that we had to refresh them. And we're still, to some extent, at that risk if we, with this upfront information initiative, are we not? Or is there a way that we can ensure that this information is being refreshed regularly?
Your comment around HIPS and the accuracy of the content and refreshing it, I think that's rather an easy hurdle to get over. A lot of the content that sits in the detail that would drive the transaction doesn't need all that much updating. Based on our experience and all the content we curate on a daily basis, it changes all the time, right? Daily, by the minute, by the hour, by the day. So I can't sit here and say the data isn't changing, but some of the assessments and things, you know, if you're relying on some of the products and things for up to 6 months, I think it's sufficient. And that's my own personal view based on working in the sector for 20 years. But yeah, refreshing is important. But I think if you ask me honestly what happened with HIPS was, you know, promoted as something far more than what it actually turned out to be, because a lot of the content that should have been part of that process wasn't included. So you could argue corners were cut there, which kind of devalued the product to a point, which is no wonder. You know, I was at the meeting where Grant Shapps stood in front of everybody that was owning a HIP company or providing HIPS, and he realized he was in power, and he told everybody he was going to cut it. So I'm not sure how he got out the door, but he managed to survive. But I was present when he made that announcement. Hopefully we can do things better based on the lessons from the past.
You talked about the fact that we have to bring the whole profession along with us on this journey. And I mean, it's something that I do agree with. You know, we can't do this in a piecemeal way. I'm not going to ask you about whether we need regulation or not. I am going to ask you about the work of people like the Open Property Data Association, where we're creating standards, we're creating a way in which we can transfer this data between ourselves much more effectively. Is that something that you're really buying into?
We are only a small part of the content that's going to feed into that process. But to answer the question, absolutely. I think if you don't have a standard, how are you going to materially manage quality moving forward in the industry? I would say that it's pleasing to hear and a pleasure to attend some of these meetings where people are actually talking about standards, because, you know, I see a lot of examples in the sector where people, as I say, cut corners and do their own thing. I would ask, I suppose, you know, we spoke about people getting on the bus and going on this journey with us. You know, if government and the various regulators in the legal sector don't actually back this and back it, you know, 100%, right? Don't say you're backing it and then just not do anything. I question if it'll actually happen. I think everybody needs to be on the back of this supporting it, including those regulators, or we're all doing a lot of work, which is good and admirable work, but will it come to fruition? I hope it does, because, you know, as I said at the start, if your two objectives are to speed the transaction process up and stop fall throughs, if you don't embrace change, it's not going to happen.
So thinking about standards, thinking about this conversation that we're having about environmental data, looking forward as much as it looks back, leads rather neatly onto the climate change discussion, which it's fair to say has not been universally well received in the conveyancing community. First of all, talk to me about why climate change became such an important part of your programme over the course of the last 12, 18 months.
I would love to sit here and say that it was born all out of our amazing intuition and planning, and it was definitely going to happen. But, you know, being an environmental business, obviously we would eventually end up in that space. But it actually started with the banking clients we have as a business. So, you know, we actually build, curate and provide search solutions to some of the largest banks in the country, Santander, Barclays, NatWest, people like that. So with the work that UK Finance and the lenders were looking around climate change and how lending would be impacted based on climate change, that's kind of where the whole conversation started. Obviously, dealing with those lenders, they wanted a solution. We have the skill set, content and capability of looking at providing a solution, and we did just that. But no sooner did we start that process, understandably, that was going to have a material impact on what the Law Society would have to instruct as regulator to guide their solicitors and their members. And also, you know, we always knew at the start that this wasn't going to be comfortable, should I say, trying to roll something out to the legal sector, both residential and commercial solicitors themselves. So that's where it started. Have we learnt a lot since we launched the proposition? Massively. And I think that also is testament to some of the work we do globally, right? So Groundshaw's launched in Australia. We have a full-blown climate solution out in Australia as well. You know, the product has evolved both here and abroad, and that's helped us refine and hone the product itself in the UK. I mean, we've provided north of 500,000 climate searches, which is built into our core products as standard into the sector. Could we have been a business that launched something to generate more revenue or whatever? We actually realized that this was going to be quite a sensitive topic of conversation, because it is a global conversation that's been rolling on for a number of years now. What we decided to do was just roll this straight into the products and services that people are used to taking from Groundshaw. So there was no serious change. There was no serious controversy. And there shouldn't be any serious concerns around, you know, cost implications, et cetera, for the consumer. The argument from solicitors about not being environmental or climate specialists, I don't think that's ever changed, right? I mean, Groundshaw's provided environmental searches for decades. Never once have we turned around and suggested that, and I don't think the sector has either, that a conveyancer is a specialist in contaminated land or flooding or mining or whatever. So I think change scares people. And I know there's people that are concerned about, you know, where they stand if reliance was challenged in the products themselves. But we're the specialists. Groundshaw's been providing assessments on past risks for decades, and I don't think there's any real difference to Groundshaw now providing assessments on future risks. The content that we use has improved vastly from when I joined Groundshaw, so much so that we can now assess things really accurately moving forward. And the product that you are able to purchase from Groundshaw today is going to evolve. The product is continually evolving. And that's because getting a grasp on climate change and what it means moving forward is going to change significantly. So, you know, our teams in the business are seriously focused here and abroad on making sure the climate piece is as accurate as possible and it evolves, and it will always have that quality seal of approval from Groundshaw. And we're here to help solicitors by making sure that they can get answers to questions that might be raised with them. We're not expecting them to be specialists. We're here to help them and do our jobs. No change from a Groundshaw perspective, and that will continue moving forward.
It's a refreshingly honest answer. Thank you, Malcolm. But it really interesting, because I don't think that understanding of what drove the climate change agenda initially is there amongst conveyancers. And it's really important, I think, to raise that point around the fact that this has been driven by the lenders rather than by you guys.
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be people that think I'm talking nonsense. I've been in the sector long enough to appreciate that people will disagree with me, but I can only talk based on what we've experienced as a business. And the lenders have driven this. We've been very engaged with UK Finance. And you only have to look at the people around the table within the working groups that are driving the guidance from a regulator perspective. All the key stakeholders that you would assume would be in that room are in that room. You have UK Finance in the room, you have people from the Law Society in the room, you have key lenders, key environmental specialists and associations in the room, you've got UKLA and organisations like that, that are all feeding into that working group to make sure that the guidance that they release is not only detailed enough, but it is also prescriptive enough to make sure that conveyancers actually appreciate and understand what they need to do next. I know you could argue that it's a bit cart before horse. It would have been nice to have all of this out earlier, but let's compare that to trading standards, right? Trading standards have released something when it comes to upfront information, and there's now more confusion from some of the parties in the sector than what there was before. So there's a lot of differences around it. So I think it's going to evolve, but yeah, you are right. There are a number of key stakeholders that are driving this through the Law Society, and I'm sure we're going to see a bit more clarity around it in the coming months. And climate searches done in the future will be as natural and as normal as what contaminated land mining, Con 29, you know, flooding searches are done today. That's you know, when flooding became a big topic of conversation, that was uncomfortable. But I suppose when we actually saw the financial impact of what that causes nationally, what that does to insurance premiums, we pretty much jumped on the bandwagon pretty quickly. We adopted it as a sector, right? So I don't see climate change being any different. It's just controversy today, and it'll become natural in the future.
You've alluded to this guidance that's coming. What clarity are you hoping to get from that for conveyancers?
We have spoken to a number of key stakeholders that are part of those working groups and the sector itself, and taking feedback from the lenders and so on. I think there will be a lot of conversation or detail in the guidance, which clearly outlines what the conveyancer should look to do, you know, satisfy the requirements and the detail through acquiring extra searches or whatever. But also there'll be detail around, I hope there'll be detail around what the limitations to that are, and what sort of detail they should be providing to their customers when it comes to assessing climate change. So I'm guessing here to a degree, because what I say today might be completely different when it's finally released, because let's be honest, this has been going on for what, 2 years almost? So it's been a long time coming, and I'm hoping it actually gives the clear guidance to everybody as those key regulators are stating it will do.
It's been a bit of a whistle-stop tour around market conditions, some of the changes that are happening around upfront information and inevitably climate change. But I'm really grateful for your insight and for some of your honesty as well, Malcolm, as well. Thank you very much indeed for joining the podcast.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The Today's Conveyancer podcast is available on your preferred podcast provider. It's also available on todaysconveyancer.co.uk. My thanks to Malcolm. Thank you as ever for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.